welcome to the Irish Wolves podcast.
My name is Tony Lawler.
Today, we'll be talking to Andy Taylor, the secretary of Irish Wolves Supporters Club. And we'll be talking to Andy about his early days growing up in Wolverhampton and all his experiences of following Wolves.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Tony. How's it going?
Ah, fine. Getting through with things as best we can, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, we're going to delve into your past. One of the questions I wanted to ask you was, did you play a lot of football growing up in Wolverhampton?
Yeah, I would have done. I would have played, you know, obviously when I was in primary school, I would have played in the primary school. When you get to sort of, I guess, what you'd call fifth or sixth class these days, you know, I would have been playing for the school team. Certainly in the final year of primary school in sixth class, you know, we would have had regular matches because, you see, obviously I grew up in the Bridge North District and we would have played all the other local national schools or primary schools around the Bridge North District at the time. We used to just really play friendly matches, you know, once a week, usually on a Wednesday afternoon. But then there would be the usual tournament. I think it was called the Festival Cup. And the final was at Crown Meadow, which was the home of Bridge North Town FC. But we never got there, unfortunately, with my own village school football team with Alverley. But, you know, I would have also played for the village a little bit. We had an underage team for a while. And even though we are based, or the village is in Shropshire and in Bridge North District, we used to play in the Kidderminster and District Sunday League. So that was good. I mean, we weren't the best team in the world, but we weren't the worst team either, you know. There was often cricket scores, and it could have gone either way as well. Do you know, this is the thing with kids' football, you know.
So I
played a good bit, but never really progressed to any particular level. The only time I ever had a trial, when I was a teenager, myself and another lad who lived around the corner from me ended up having a trial with Kidderminster Harriers for their something like their under-16s or something like that, you know. Neither of us got in.
Not guilty, as you say, yeah.
Yeah, that was the extent of my my football. Couldn't even make it into a non-league football team's underage.
That's not too bad. But I just when you were growing up as a kid in Bridge North, what was it? Was it always going to be Wolves, or did you get a bit of persuasion from the family?
I think it was always going to be Wolves just because of my dad, really. Like so many people, certainly growing up in England, you know, it's whoever your dad supports, really. And especially more so if you're lucky in that your dad takes you to matches, you know. Because there would be kids that I would have grown up with, you know, their parents, both father and mother, they wouldn't have ever taken them to a football match. So those kids generally grew up just supporting whoever was winning. And of course, back in the 80s, it was Liverpool, you know. Just like kids in the 90s and in the early sort of thousands were all supporting Man United back in the 80s because it was Liverpool. So for me, I was lucky. My dad took me and my brother to Wolves from the early 80s. Before everything went pear-shaped, of course, in the mid-80s, Wolves were still in the first division. I think I went to my first game when I was about 5 years old.
Yeah. And so, what was the first game, Andy? Do you remember?
From memory. I know there was a couple of games that I was taken to around the age of 5 or 6 years old. I'm not entirely sure which one of the two was my first game, but I was taken to Liverpool and I was taken to Man United at Molineux. So two what would have been big games, and certainly what are big games these days. And yet the funny thing is, in around 1981 and 1982, around that period of time, maybe it was 1982, I can't exactly remember, but at the time, attendances at football matches were fairly low, partly because of hooliganism and other factors as well.
Yeah.
But... like since, as an adult, I've looked back, I've Googled it to look at, you know, the results of for those matches in that period. And I've been able to see the attendances, and there was only about 24,000 people there, you know.
Yeah.
And that was in the old First Division. But I kind of remember going to the Man United game, but I do specifically remember going to watch us play Liverpool. My dad had sat me and my brother with the other kids. He used to go on the terrace of the Waterloo Stand. And at the front of the terrace went down low, so the pitch level was above you kind of thing, but there was a wall. Obviously, there was a drop if you sat on the wall. The drop, if you'd have fallen backwards, the drop was quite, you know, far. But you were at the perfect level sitting on that wall with your feet on what was the old running track in front of the Waterloo Road stand. The only thing was when it was just kind of covered in grit. And I remember when a gust of wind blew up, it basically blew like sand in your face, you know, from the running track.
Yeah.
But especially when you're only like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old and you're that small kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I remember at the time, it's so strange looking back and my memory as well, is that on that Waterloo terrace, the fans weren't actually segregated. There were Liverpool fans on that terrace. And I remember a Liverpool fan running on the pitch when the teams came out of the tunnel to go on the pitch. A Liverpool fan ran on the pitch to go and shake hands with the Liverpool players. And back in those days, it was almost treated like nothing. And it's like one of those really random things that has stuck with me from the age of about 5 or 6 years old, you know, seeing this.
That's memorable. But what I was going to ask you was, is there any particular game from the start, Liverpool United, up into recent times that really kind of sticks out in your mind has been your most memorable game you've been at?
I mean, there's been some brilliant games over the years. I mean, I've seen us obviously thrash clubs. I've seen us have amazing games and only win maybe 1-0 or 2-1 and that kind of thing. Sheffield Wednesday, it was a night match under the floodlights. I think it was a fourth round replay. We were, of course, in the Championship and they were Premier League. We'd obviously drawn, and what was his name again? The keeper from North Wales, Jones. He saved a penalty up at Hillsborough. And of course, then at Molineux, it came to a draw and it went to extra time and then it went to penalties. And we missed our first three penalties. And we came back to win on penalties. But from the moment that game kicked off, before any of the extra time drama and any of the penalties drama, the atmosphere in Molineux that night was unbelievable. And I'm not even sure what the attendance was. I'd say it was probably pretty well a full house for the Molineux as it was, which was around 28,500. There was probably about 28,000 there. I think Sheffield Wednesday filled the bottom tier of the Steve Ball stand. And but just the atmosphere throughout the whole game, the noise. Sheffield Wednesday, obviously, their fans, they're one of them clubs, their fans make a lot of noise, you know, they're pretty loud. And obviously, Wolves fans decided that night, particularly the South Bank, of course, we're not going to put up with Sheffield United out singing us. And the noise in there, and of course, as the game went on, and the extra time, and of course, the penalties, just deafening. When Wolves was scored, especially when we won it, like on the penalties, just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Pandemonium.
It was actually on, I was looking lately, it was on YouTube. A lot of people on forums were talking about it. It was the anniversary maybe during the last couple of weeks. And it was great. You never get tired looking at it. Like you're down and out, as we have been many times. And then to actually win a game on penalties like that. And Waddle again to miss a penalty, of course.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, following on from games, who would your favourite player be?
I think I'm going to have to be a bit sort of stereotypical here, and I'm just going to have to say Steve Ball. I mean, I think the thing was, obviously, following Wolves, the way things went in the mid-80s, and then Steve Ball and Andy Thompson came along. And of course, that first season, you know, Buddy scored a few goals, and Wolves missed out on the fourth division playoffs, losing to Aldershot. But the following season, you know, he was just unbelievable. And the next those 2 seasons, when we won the fourth division championship, third division championship, it just gave you such hope, especially when at the time, you know, I think looking back, I had just started secondary school in Bridgnorth, and I was in the first and second year of Albury Wells Secondary School. You know, as a Wolves fan, living through that slump, dropping down from the first division to the fourth division season after season, all the slagging you'd get for being a Wolves fan, especially when most people supported Liverpool just because they were the team that were winning. And, you know, anybody that supported any other clubs might have been lads who supported other sort of local, if you like, Midlands clubs like Villa and West Brom, who, of course, at the time were above Wolves. in the first division and so on. So at least we were winning and we were climbing back up. And I guess like so many Wolves fans, we thought we'd continue to climb. We'd go up the league ladder as quick as we fell down it, you know. And sadly, we got stuck in Division Two for flipping 19 odd years. But Steve Ball really was the catalyst for that. His goals, you know, were what brought us to where we got to.
Yeah. Just wondering, with being Wolves supporters all our lives, there's probably one question that there's probably a long list of answers to it, but one of the memories you'd have of supporting Wolves that you'd rather forget.
Yeah, there's a couple of them, I suppose. You know, it usually involves West Brom. I think the thing is, obviously, you know yourself, being a Wolves fan all your life, and I guess maybe it's more so a bigger thing for me, because obviously, having come from England, when you're growing up a Wolves fan, and of course there are going to be West Brom fans around you, and you know you'd grow up with friends who are Albion fans, so the Black Country Derby, it is a big thing. And sometimes, you know, I don't think supporters of football clubs who live in other countries don't always get it. And I'm not just saying that about Irish Wolves fans. I'm saying that about any Irish fan who supports any English club. You know, they don't always understand the local rivalries like Wolves v West Brom or okay, I suppose the Merseyside derby, that's different, and the same with the Manchester derby. But some of the other derbies that, you know, that are not so spoken about, you know, and not made such a big fuss over in the media, you know, it's difficult for overseas fans to understand it. But for people who grow up with it, it's the rivalry is really big. So there have been a couple of times, obviously, you know, we've lost to West Brom as much as we've beaten them over the years. But those times when you lose them, obviously, it's always bad. But there's a couple of times when I made the mistake of inviting some friends along who weren't particularly Wolves fans or West Brom fans, you know, but they were just interested in football. And I'd been raving on to them, oh, yeah, the Black Country Derby, you've got to come. And on at least two occasions that I can think of, I brought friends of mine from college or uni. I got them a ticket and went and took them to the game at Molineux, and we bloody well lost. But the one time in particular, of course, the one thing that I do remember, not only just thinking about it, the losing matches specifically to West Brom, but the choke season when we were second to Man City for so long, and then, of course, West Brom pipped us to the second place and got promoted ahead of us. And of course, then we lost in the playoffs. It basically came down to the last game of the season, and we were away at Sheffield Wednesday. And I went with a mate of mine and a girlfriend that I had at the time. We went to Molineux to watch Wolves at Sheffield Wednesday on a big screen in the Molineux. And of course, we drew the match and West Brom won their game. And it was just bloody awful. You know,
I'd imagine that.
Even times when we've not specifically lost to West Brom, there's that time when, of course, we lost out to West Brom, you know. So,
yeah, and maybe I suppose even thinking in more recent times that the semi final of the FA Cup, of course, is still kind of playing very hard on people's minds, it's still a touchy subject 2 years later.
I think the thing for me is it didn't, not that it didn't bother me, of course I was bothered, but I wasn't as hurt as much by it because I actually didn't go. I was working in Galway at the time. I couldn't get time off work on that particular weekend. I was expected to work and I just wasn't able to get out of it at all. And I guess the fact that I was watching it in a pub in Galway, obviously, if I'd have went to all that effort of travelling over and going to Wembley and all that, and then, you know, had been there, it probably, you know, would have been more upset about it. But I have to say, regarding that cup semi-final defeat, while it was bloody galling to take the lead and then let it go the way we did, there really was a part of me, and I know a lot of people will listen to this and say I'm one-eyed, you know, I'm a happy clapper or whatever, you know, but I said at the time, we will be back here again in the near future. I very much, I've got a lot of confidence in Nuno, and I know we've just gone through a really bad patch, but we're coming out of it currently, and you know, I think no doubt that we're safe this season, and I'm pretty confident we're going to finish just above mid-table. We'll probably finish around 10th, but you know, maybe 9th or 10th this season. But overall, I just kind of think, you know, as long as Nuno stays as our manager, we will get to cup finals, be it the FA Cup final or the Europa League final, or maybe, you know, I don't want to get too carried away, but if we end up getting a top four finish, I mean, nobody expected we'd go as far as we did in the Europa League to get to the quarter final. I don't think there's anybody out there that expected us to get that far, considering we started off in the very literally the preliminary rounds, you know, and we ended up at getting to the quarter final of the Europa League. So, as regards the future with Wolves, to lose that FA Cup semi-final the other year, I just kind of go, look, in some ways it's water off a duck's back, because I just think, give it another season or two, we'll be back at Wembley, no problem at all, you know. And I think we'll be regulars at Wembley as well. I honestly do believe it.
Yeah, and I suppose that the Southampton game where we got knocked out, a lot of people were criticising Nuno over his team selection, but I think most people feel it worked out okay on the Sunday, then winning the game and winning against Leeds then after that. But what was actually the last game you were at in Molineux, if you can remember back that far?
Well, it's quite funny, actually. I'm quite lucky in that the last game I was at Molineux was us beating Manchester City last Christmas. The Christmas before last. I was obviously over in England for Christmas. I went to watch us play Man City at Molineux. And then, 2 days later, I went to Liverpool to watch us, obviously, at Anfield. And obviously, so the last game at Molineux that I saw, we beat City 3-2 in that incredible game, you know, where... Oh, geez, the way VAR was being utilised that day and the decisions that were going against us and in favour of Man City, I just thought, literally, it was the closest I thought we'd come to seeing we'd see a riot at the Wolves, you know, in modern times kind of thing, because I just thought the way everything panned out, the first half of that game, you know, the VAR decisions, the referees' decisions, that you could feel the atmosphere in the stands was actually terrible, and it was like, you know, the worst I'd seen and heard and felt for a long time. And I just thought, God, this referee's gonna have to, they're gonna have to, you know, I don't know, bring him out under police guard at the end of this match, the way things are going. But of course, second half, we bloody took the game to them and came back and won the game, you know.
Yeah, so many memorable games in the last few seasons. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, just to kind of finish off on hopefully on a high note, you did touch on it just there a minute ago about you know, how you felt we finished this season and going on into the future with Wembley appearances and that. But what are your hopes for Wolves in the foreseeable future?
Yeah, I think it's hard to say, but I am, as I said before, I am confident. I do feel. I do think that Nuno and his backroom staff, I think you have to include them, because ultimately this is the interesting thing. In previous times, we've had managers that have come and gone, and managers have come along, and just the manager themselves has turned up, like Mick McCarthy turned up, and he was happy to keep Terry Connor on, who'd been, you know, under previous managers. And you get managers who come along and, you know, they don't like to ruffle too many feathers when they come in, and they don't always bring in their own backroom team or their own assistant manager or whatever it might be. They usually stick with what's already there, or they might only get rid of one or two people, or they might bring their own person in, a particular trainer in or a particular coach in, to add to the people who were already at Wolves. And yet, the interesting thing, and this was one of the things that made me kind of sit up and think, when Nuno joined us a few years ago, he brought in his entire own backroom team. You know, he didn't just add one or two people to the existing team. You know, he got rid of the people that were there already. I mean, what's his name? Tony Daly left us, and different people like that. You know, Tony Daly was there as a fitness coach, and different people completely swept the the board clean, you know, wiped the board, whatever, brought in his entire own backroom team. And I just think that with Nuno and his team that he works with and he trusts fully, the only other person he brought in a little bit later as a bit of an addition, I can't remember the guy's name, but he's a Scottish coach that Nuno apparently did his UEFA badges with.
Right.
And he brought him in maybe about 3 or 4 months after the rest of the team came along. And so I'm very confident, as long as they remain at Wolves, I'm confident. The other thing I want to touch on is the transfers. Obviously, Nuno, well, Fosun has allowed Nuno to bring in particular players, and we've obviously utilised the Portuguese market quite a lot. And of course, we've got the assistance of Uncle Jorge or Jorge, whatever you call him. And yet, like Fosun have always said, you know, he's just an advisor. And yes, we do use him to help us buy players, but we don't purely use Mendes and his company, you know, all the time. And that's very true. There are players that we've signed that don't particularly come through his company. But last summer, obviously, we did bring in a few players that it was a bit of a head scratcher. And of course, paying 35 million for Silva, you know, at 18 years of age. Now, I do think he will come good. And you can see that he is working hard. He's just struggling to get into the right positions and struggling to find the back of the net in, you know, in particular instances. But I just think we have to maybe be a bit sharper with our with the players that we bring in, and really make sure. I mean, in many ways, you could say we just got lucky with Jimenez. Jimenez hit the ground running, but we could almost do with getting that bit more luck with players like him that slot in to really pinpoint players in other clubs, be it in England or anywhere in the UK or overseas. You know, they don't necessarily have to be Portuguese or Spanish, but to try and locate those players that will literally just perfectly slot in and hit the ground running from day one. Because as we've seen, we try to, in some ways, find a replacement for Jimenez, because obviously Silva, it hasn't been working out for him. So we brought in Willian. You know, you can see he's getting into the right positions. You can see he's holding up the ball. You can see he's doing some of the right things.
Yeah.
He's just, ultimately though, he's not finding the back of the net, you know. My hopes for the future are continue to try and find those kind of gems that will literally just slot right in perfectly into the squad that we have, hit the ground running, and obviously that Nuno and his team continue on. And the other thing is, of course, with Brexit, it's obviously going to have an effect on the transfer market as regards bringing in foreign players, and we've seen that already here in Ireland. We've read, you know, in the sports media over here, how young Irish lads who are wanting to forge a career playing football in England are going to struggle now because of the rules and regulations regarding Brexit. So Wolves are going to have to work harder, like all clubs, to bring through the young lads from their academy. And we need to see more young fellas from the academy being brought into the first team. And again, they've got to be moulded so that they slot right in.
Yeah, as you say, that sounds good, Andy. And we're hoping, you know, we've always been good up to this season. Probably we've been great with recruitment. And, you know, I think Silva probably came in as one for the future. And with Jimenez getting injured, he's been kind of thrown in at the deep end. But I think overall, as you say, we're heading in the right direction, hopefully, for a bit of stability again, and we move up that table. Listen, it's been great to talk to you, Andy. I'll be talking to you again. So, listen, thanks a million for that, Andy.
Okay, thanks very much.
See you, Andy. Take care.
See you now.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.